We are in Romans. And so in Romans, we'll start in chapter 7. Now, I don't know how you do your devotions. For me, I love to just read usually typically a chapter. I just do my devotions, read a chapter of scripture. I feel like at some point something's going to speak to me. And as I was walking through Romans 7 and Romans 8, so we won't be able to touch on all of it because that could take a while, but there's something going on here that I want to just point out really, really clearly. Allowing the word of God to speak to us and share. And like, I'm on the wrong page. So I was like, I didn't know where I'm going with this message. Like, I know where I was going. I'm like, this is not the right information. There's three things happening here. The Apostle Paul is trying to teach the local church there. He's trying to talk to them about his experience before salvation. Then he encounters God's law, and then post-salvation, after salvation. And it's all laid out right here in Romans 7 and 8. It's almost like if you want to help lead somebody, we usually say, read the book of John, right? Well, also read Romans 7 and 8. It's so rich, and so we're going to just kind of look at it a little bit together. So in Romans chapter 7, the first, you know, from verse 1 to, I don't know, maybe about 6-ish, there's about kind of pre-salvation, pre-conversion. Then there's something about struggling with the law, the rest of chapter 7. That's where we'll spend the most of our time, because that's where I think a lot of us are hung up and struggle with that. Then we'll talk about after salvation, what happens after that. And that'll be chapter 8, a lot of chapter 8 there. If you want to go on from there and throw your glasses around, you know, and spend some time there, finish chapter 8, because that would be end times, eternal. Like what happens at the very end. So we don't want to spend any time there today. That's at the end of the year. I preached that sermon. Romans chapter 7, though, verse 4 is where we'll just start. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, but that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, pre-salvation, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our body so that we bore fruit to death. There are things that we regret. There are things that we wish we didn't do. There are things that we wish we've never said or looked at, all that kind of stuff. Verse 6, but now by dying to what once bound us, all that kind of stuff was holding us back. Don't you remember that before you were saved? You just felt like this weight upon you. I'm not good. Those are terrible thoughts that I have. And you didn't know how to get free from it. But then we see in Scripture, oh, yes. We've got the rest of verse 6. We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way, the Spirit-filled way, not in the old way or the old written code. I think sometimes when we get saved, we bring into our salvation experience things that are actually not biblical and not scriptural. 2 weeks ago, I was in Prince Rupert, so I won't spend too much time here. I spoke on that idea, that when you get saved, I think there's some ungodly habits and some ungodly expectations and some ungodly, you know, we're trying to measure up that are not biblical. We shouldn't be living this way because it's a failure. It's like, oh, do we like to enter this race and fail? No. You want to enter this race and come last? No, thank you. And so we live that way, and there's this expectation that we put upon ourselves, not even the word of God or not even from the enemy. We put it there, and we've got to shed that off. We've got to let it go because we're released from that so that we allow the Holy Spirit to just operate in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is what? Oh, condemning and harsh and, you know, no! The Holy Spirit is freeing, peace, comfort, all those kind of things come into our lives. But we can continue to have a wall there and continue to be bitter and frustrated and all these kind of things. You got to take the wall down. And it might take a stone at a time, but make sure you're working at it. Don't just say, oh, it's a big wall there. You know, I can't deal with this. Oh, scripturally, we've got to get that. We've got to understand that we are released. You're not held by that anymore. Because if the expectation is like, okay, now that you're Christian, and now that you're thinking about growing and maturing in Christ, you better follow this thing, man. You better be perfect. As soon as you fail or as soon as you trip up, pastor's going to call you in his office. You're going to light you up like a Christmas tree and boot you out. Like, no, it's not like that, is it? Because if that was the case, I'm the first one. I'll put my own self in my own office and kick my own self out because we're not perfect. That's an unrealistic expectation. The only thing that will bring us is frustration and disappointment. Because there'll be a day you forget to read this thing, and you'll be like, I feel guilty. There'll be a day when you think about something that you should not be thinking about, and you'll be like, I feel bad. There'll be a day when you don't come to church on a Sunday. And I know, I keep attendance. I'm watching. I'm joking. I apologize. I'm having fun with you. But you're going to feel like, oh, shit, I really should have got out of bed, or my back hurt, or the tire was, you know, whatever. Who cares? It doesn't matter. But don't look through that lens. That's a negative lens. You are hurting yourself. It's not the Lord. It's not even the enemy. It's you. You're doing it to yourself. I do it to myself all the time. Right? I feel like, oh, I've let people down. I've let a situation down. I've let this down. And because it's an unrealistic expectation. There's only one guy perfect. There's only one guy that ever got it right. And the rest of us, it's not just a license to like just, you know, mess around. And like, no, that's not what we're talking about. But allow God to give you grace. Allow God to give you peace. Don't resist that. Don't fight that. That's an unrealistic, unbiblical expectation upon yourself. Don't allow that to happen. Don't put that on yourself. There's the second page that I was trying to preach a minute ago. It didn't make any sense. But Jesus Christ's sacrifice, it opened a door for us. Opened that free gift for us so that we can live with him every day. Because if it was like kind of, if you measure up, then you get to live with him. If you get it right, then you get Jesus. If you're perfect, then you know, it's not like that. That's not the right system. That's not the right mathematical formula. The mathematical formula is follow Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you. And along the way, he'll make mistakes, but you got a comforter to help you through it. You got somebody holding you along. But there's still going to be those challenges. Let's turn our eyes towards the Lord. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. That's the way it says here when it says, in the new way. We now live in a new way. Again, post-Jesus, we lived a certain way. Now that we have Jesus, we live a different way. We live in a way that's with the Holy Spirit. And because we have the Holy Spirit and we're so grateful that Jesus died for all of our sins, what do? We think, well, how do we respond? That makes no sense. To be like, oh, thank you for dying for all my sins, Jesus. And then every day we live our lives. Oh, I'm terrible. Oh, I'm terrible. Yeah. What? What kind of life is that? Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord's probably looking at you like, I died for you. Why are you still grumbling about this? I set you free from that. Because we got Jesus inside of us, we got the Holy Spirit, we do what? Out of love and gratitude, we thank God for every day. We say, oh, thank God that I know I messed up, but I've got the Holy Spirit to help me through this situation in Jesus' name. That's why we come to church. That's why we got saved in the first place. Because without that, go back to your old way. Why would we go back to our old ways? It's terrible. If there's no dramatic shift in you, why are you here? I'm being silly now, but I'm seriously like, if Jesus like really set you free and changed your life, then you want to be grateful. You want to worship him. You want to lift up your hands. You want to read his word. Because yeah. Something's happened. If nothing's happened, then we should go back to A. Did something radically change in your life? You might not know the day exactly when you got saved, but did something radically shift in you? We're like, whoa, I got new skin. This is awesome. I've got a new passion for life. This is amazing. I used to like not care about my life or care about people or all these kind of things, but now I love people. Even that enemy that we read about today, that enemy that is like, well, I hate that guy. Oh, I have to have compassion and love that guy. But I see it in a new way because God loves them. And God sees them because they're a child of God. And I can't allow my bitterness and my anger get in the way of that. So that's a new way to live. The old you, when somebody ripped you off or took your money or smashed into your truck or broke into your house, you hated that person. But the new you is like, oh, well, if you're going to break into my house, take the TV too. You know, have the chocolate and have, you know, I'm being silly, but seriously, you're not grateful for that, but you have a new way of viewing it. Instead of like colorful words or ideas coming out of your head, you're like, how can I bless that person? This happened to us. Omi and I, this was so sweet back in the day, North Vancouver. I'm working at Walmart. You know, I was in retail back in the day. And I go on vacation and I leave Omi my car, like really nice, shiny, black, nice mags. You know, back in the day, you got money, you don't have kids, all that kind of stuff. You know, stereo, you know, awesome. And CDs, oh, lots of CDs, because you didn't have like a whatever back in the day. And so somebody like took a crowbar. She goes to work in the parking lot. Somebody takes a crowbar, open the door, steals all the CDs. And so she's phoning me. I'm on vacation. And, you know, she's sad that the car's wrecked and she's in tears. I said, honey, are you okay? You know, like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, okay. Then don't worry about it. I got insurance. We all covered up. I'm thinking, what an idiot for stealing all these Christian CDs. I hope that guy gets saved. You know, it's a new perspective, right? Because if not, then you can be so frustrated. I hate those people always stealing and ripping us off. What a crazy community. What a silly city. You know, you could feel that way. And it just ruin your whole day, ruin a whole week. You know, every time you deal with that kind of stupid car, you know, it's my baby. Don't do that to it. But, you know, you've got to think about it differently. You've got to see that differently, the way that God's seeing it. So that's what pre-salvation looks like. Let's look at the law, where I really want to spend a bunch of time. Although I spent a lot of time right there. That was long. It was good. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We'll look at some of the law. And so it's a bit lengthy here, but let's have some fun. We know that the law is spiritual. And I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate to do, I do. So the Apostle Paul is wrestling through the law. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's the sin living in me. Almost as like an excuse or something, I'm joking, but I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. It's the Apostle Paul wrestling through this. For what I do is not good I want to do. No, it's the evil I don't want to do that I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Here it is right here. You can see this word law come up a lot of times. When I want to do good, evil's right there. For in my inner being, I delight in the God's law. You know, I do delight. I want to do right. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law in my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work within my members. See, after salvation, after we get saved, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's actually not condemnation. We're going to read that in a moment. But there is actually some conviction. We should stop doing that. I should stop thinking that way. I should, you know, try and work on that. That's what it's there for. Verses 24. What a wretched man I am. This is the Apostle Paul, a super anointed guy. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, though, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Oh, there's so much going on there. So he's wrestling through his thoughts there. I mean, what a brilliant piece of scripture as he writes, just what's going on inside of his mind, the things that he's facing. He can see compared to God's law, he's wretched. And I think the more that we get closer to the Lord, the more that we understand how holy and perfect he is, the more that we kind of, as the Apostle Paul would write, like, I'm not good, I'm a sinner. And then we see later on, as he understands more and more of the word, man, I'm the worst sinner, actually. And then he says, like, I'm actually the leader of all sinners as he gets closer to the Lord. The more that we realize how much, now this isn't, again, condemning. This is about freeing us to realize that in our own strength, we can't do it. We need the strength of God. If we just are going to bow down to the law, it's not going to work out. So three things come out of here real quick. Knowledge. Now, let me finish my thought. It's actually not the answer. Knowledge is very good, but it's not going to save you because you cannot stand at the pearly gates and start quoting scriptures to get into heaven. You know, the devil probably knows more scriptures than all of us put together. He knows it inside and out. Does that help him? Is that going to help him at salvation time, at the end of the times? Not at all. Knowledge is good. I think you should have lots of knowledge. I should continue to get knowledge, but that's not what's going to save you. Because it says in verse 9 of Romans 7, once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang into life and I died. Paul felt fine, like many of us might and many of our friends and people that don't know the Lord, until they understood the law when they got saved and they learned the truth. Then they realized that without the Lord, without salvation, we are doomed. Without Jesus living inside of us, there is no way we're getting in. And that's just a knowledge that we are aware of as we continue to understand it. Okay, the second point Paul points out here is self-determination. Struggling with one's own strength actually will not succeed. It won't get you there either. Verse 15 of Romans 7. I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate to do, I do. Even the things that Paul is like, I'm not even tempted by that, he ended up doing. Because in his own strength, there's no way. I mean, Paul, if you think an educated guy, man, that guy's got a lot of knowledge. You know, he's got a lot of history. You're thinking he's planning all his churches. Like, this is the guy that if anyone was going to get it right, he should get it right. But he's saying, I can't even work my way in. I can't even figure this out on my own accord because I realize I don't even want to do these things, but the sin in me is I'm being tempted by them. Third point here is becoming a Christian doesn't stamp out all sin and temptation for a person's life. Let me just kind of expand that a little bit. So Romans 7:22 onward. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Yes, God's law. We want to be obedient to that. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that's been worked within my members. What a wretched man I am. For who will rescue me from this body of death? And again, thanks be to God because he saves us from that law and he sets us free. You see, being born again, getting salvation, it's just you get saved. Give your heart to Christ. But the journey now that you get to live is a lifelong process of working it out. And it's about getting, you know, closer to the Lord and working on our stuff, but it's not about being perfect. It's not about salvation and then perfection. It's about salvation, and now let's work at one thing at a time so I can get better in life. And don't beat yourself up along the way. Because you get saved, and you're like, okay, God wants to deal with one thing in your life. And they're like, oh, man, Lord, not that one. That's terrible, right? And you feel terrible. It's not like that. It's about salvation. Oh, God, great. We're going to deal with this thing. I'm going to be free from it. This is going to be a great day. It's going to be painful in the process. I might be like taking off a Band-Aid. Ouchie. But, you know, you're going to get better. It's going to be better. There's this war that goes on inside of my body. Some of us have it. Autoimmune disease. When I eat gluten and other things, it actually causes a war inside my body. So you look at me, and I look fine. Inside me, I'm dying because there's this war going on inside. And I actually like gluten, but anyways, that's the doctor saying that's probably not a good idea. So I avoid it. So with knowledge, I try and avoid gluten. But there's still this war going on inside of my body. So there's days I wake up and I feel terrible. But I actually don't have any control over it. So why would I beat myself up and go, well, I'm an idiot. My body's falling apart. I'm hooped. Like, that would make no sense, wouldn't it? Because I don't have control over it. What would make sense? I wake up every day. It's a new day in the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this body's going to react. A piece of old junk. It's falling apart. But I got Jesus in my heart. And I got God with me. And no matter what I face today, God is going to help me. And I can have joy, and I can have comfort. That makes sense, wouldn't it? The other thing doesn't make sense. So don't beat yourself up. Stop trying to be so harsh on yourself. Okay, last point for time's sake. Post-conversion, so after salvation, just quickly, Romans chapter 8, because Jesus, thank you, Lord. We've got these kind of statements. We've got a therefore. Oh, just right there. You find therefores in the Bible, we're going to have some fun together. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. You know, it's not like for those that are holy, for those that are good tithers, for those that are members, for those that are, you know, dressed up with a tie on this morning. It's for those that love Jesus and have the Holy Spirit. There's no condemnation. So the condemnation can go to hell. I mean, I'm just being kind of candid there, but bye-bye. Verse 2, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, what is that? Spirit, that Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, it set me free from the law of sin and death. I am not guilty because of the Spirit that lives inside of me, not because of my own understanding, my own knowledge, my own thinking, my own, I'm going to work better, I'm going to figure it out. It's because of what lives inside of me. I want you to think about this. If we are in death row, really, honestly, humanity is on death row, and as you find Christ Jesus, he says, I'll take your place. And how would you respond to that? Would you be like, oh, thanks. I kind of wanted to, you know. You'd be like, hallelujah. I'm set free. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. And so we see that so clearly there. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free. You've got to understand that you are free. Stop beating yourself up. Stop being stuck in all that stuff. Get free in Jesus' name. So let's go back to the very first thought here in Romans 7:5 and 6. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, we used to live that way. Unfortunately, sometimes we get saved and we still kind of struggle through that. We're growing, we're learning, we're maturing together. The sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit to death. All those kind of condemnation things, all those kind of heavy things, it feels weighty and it feels like it's killing us. But now, verse 6, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law. It's not that we don't care about the law, we just avoid it, but we're released so that we can live and serve in a new way by the Spirit, not in the old written code. You are free. It's exciting news. That's why we come here. That's why, you know, when the worship's on, it's not like, oh, I should probably raise my hands, everybody else's, you know. You don't do that. God is speaking to you, and you're like, I am so grateful God is in my life. I am so grateful I don't live in that old way anymore because I'm free in Jesus. Isn't that exciting news? Whoa, man, the Word of God's brilliant, eh? So love the Word. Let me just pray for you quickly, and then we'll worship together one last time. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, as always, for the truth of your Word. Father, as we join here every week, we want to continue to take the truth that you speak to us. We want to receive it. We want it to change us from the inside out. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, if there's anyone here watching, listening, that there would begin a change in them. Father, just even in myself, some expectations I put on myself, just foolish. And so would you remove that from me? Would you remove that from us? So that we can see you for who you are. We can see the goodness of our God. We can see the holiness of our God. We can see that God went to the cross because he wanted to free us so that we could have joy and peace and happiness. So whatever heaviness we have right now, Father, we just lay it down. Lay it at the foot of the cross where it belongs. And we pick up the Holy Spirit. We pick up the fruits of the Spirit. Would you allow that to resonate in us? Father, we can't do this on our own. We see so clearly. Our own efforts are foolish. Your efforts are perfect. You are perfect. And so we invite you again into our hearts, into our minds, into our beings. Camp and dwell with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.